I want to share with you just some thoughts here. I want to go to here. If you look at the statistics about kids and when people come to the gospel of Jesus Christ, this is quite enlightening when you see this. For example, it says that less than 1% of all the population comes to Christ between the ages of 0 and 3. I don't understand that. Because how many of you remember when you were 3 years old? There you go. But it does say between 4 and 14, 63% come to Christ. Now, I came to Christ at the age of 4, so I can see myself in there between 4 and 14. That means that really, where should a church really be focusing? Now, I know somebody goes, what about the older people? Trust me, we focus on you. Don't get me wrong. But where should we really be focusing on bringing people to Christ? It's between ages of 4 and 14. And then it says between 14 and 29, it's 39%. So once again, where should we really be focusing? If our job is to bring people to Jesus Christ, where should we be putting a lot of emphasis and a lot of focus on? It should be that. Now, once again, I want to go back to what I said before we got started today. Last week alone, we had over 50 kids in the children's area during the worship, during children's church time. That says a lot about this church and the youth that are in part of this church. Now, what about us older people? Well, the scriptures are very specific about that. The scriptures talk over and over again about how the older people are going to be teaching and influencing the younger people. It's in the Bible over and over again, and it talks about that. So, real briefly, I want to talk about what you as the older people can be doing in the lives of these children. And more specifically, in the area of grandparents. Because in parents and grandparents, the two most influential people in the lives of any child are the parents and the grandparents. No ifs, ands, or buts. We're talking about the impact of many different areas in the lives of our kids. Social media, school systems, and whatnot. But if they have a very solid foundation that comes from their parents and grandparents, they're going to be more able to endure and weather the storms that are going to come their way. Because let's be honest, society is not kind to Christianity right now. We used to be, or they used to be, but they're not right now. And you go into some of the schools and some of the colleges and universities, they're just going to tear them apart. Because, oh, how can they do that? How can they be so narrow-minded and all these other statements that are there? So we need to be really instilling in the lives of our kids Christianity and Christian worldview. My son and I, and even my daughters, when we lived in Findlay, we walked. We would go on walks. And we would go up over a bridge, over by their middle school, and all the way around. And that was about a two-mile walk. Sometimes I'd walk them to school. And those would be good times for me to sit there and to talk to my kids, my daughters, about, hey, this is what you look for in a guy, and this is how they're to treat you. My son, this is what you're supposed to do. This is how to be a man and how to be chivalrous and everything else. We talked about almost everything, and I mean everything. I would rather have my kids coming to me and talking to me and asking me questions that even might be a little embarrassing and getting the answers from me than the locker room. Agree or disagree? So parents and grandparents are some of the most influential people in the lives of their kids. You can't see this too well, but these are some of the influences in my life. This is, starting this side and going over, this is my wife's parents, Alice and Burley Clay, throughout their lives when they got married and when I pretty much met her and right before they died. And I think they were married 65 or 60, yeah, that was 65 years. And then you also have Earl and Mabel Cohn and Robert and Margaret Clay. And so those are some of the people that influenced my wife's life. And even though she does not remember them, because she was born late in life, her parents were 45 years old when she was born. So I think about it right now. I'm 56 years old, 45 years old. That means I'd have a 9-year-old at home right now. Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, so my wife, that's when she was born. The only thing she can remember about one of her grandfathers, and that was Earl Cohn, is that Earl Cohn lived at their home, and every day he would go walk to the corner market, get a Hostess apple pie, take it home, and he put it in a bowl. And then he put shredded wheat on top of it, and then he put milk on top of it. He put it in a refrigerator and let it soak all night, and that was his breakfast. I thought I was going to get a bigger ooh than that. That's all she remembers about them. But yet they influenced the lives of my wife. My wife is the pastor's wife she is today because her mother was a pastor's wife. And there, sometimes I look at her and I say, well, you don't do that. And she goes, I'm a pastor's wife, I have to. I said, no, you don't. But my mom always did. Okay, over here is my family. My dad's on this side. This is my mom and dad on this side. My grandfather, I don't remember much about him. He's the one on top of the Model T. He died when I was 4 or 5 years old. All I remember about the funeral was my shoes were too tight. Down below, you can barely see that, but that is Oral and Merlin Delancey. And if you, any of you ever remember Delancey's Fresh Vegetables in Fort Wayne, Indiana, that was them. I learned a couple things from them. One is always work hard. They were dirt farmers, and they loved Jesus. And what also made him very interesting is the history of my grandfather. My grandfather went to work at the age of 14 because during the Depression, his dad died. And he had to survive. He had to support the family. So he's the one that quit school and went to work. Now, all of you high schoolers saying, good, I can quit school. Now, he went back to school in the 1950s and got his high school education. I think he was 45 years old because he knew it was important. Anyway, so he went to school. During that time, he supported his mom and his sister. His sister was Opal Delancey. Opal Delancey then went to college. He supported her to go to college, went to college, and then she eventually got her doctorate degree, and she became the first female professor of Maryland University. Hear these history stories? You see, there's purposes between parents and grandparents. And one is to pass these stories on, and another one is to share the love of Christ in the lives of these kids. I want to talk to you grandparents today. Because you're saying, well, many times you preach sermons for the younger people. Oh, I'm preaching one to you now. You can provide so much for the lives of your kids. You know what the purpose, you know what grandparenting is? Seriously, you know what it is? Grandparenting is the reward for not killing your children when they were teenagers. Right? Now, my son, I'll tell you, there were times I was so angry at him. I mean, I was as red as that red here. And I know my girls all went to Mom or Polly and go, save David, Dad's going to kill him, you know. But the nice part about having two girls is that when they hit the teenage years, I let Polly take care of it. I didn't understand them anyway. They were girls. I mean, it's like, you look at them and say, hi, Joanna, how you doing? Ah! I said, what did I do? It doesn't matter. Ah! Oh, man, Polly, take care of your daughter. But then your kids grow up, and they get a little bit bigger, and then you become what are called grandparents. In the book of Proverbs, it talks about that. It says, children are, Proverbs 17:6, children are the crown of the ages and the glory of children of their fathers. And some of us are enjoying that right now. But anyway, the great part about grandparenting, when you really want to influence your grandchildren, is this. Grandparents provide a spiritual legacy for their grandchildren. See, many times the parents are so busy with everything else that they forget about the spiritual legacy. You can fill the gap. I'm doing a discipleship program right now on Sunday nights, and I asked them one night, I said, tell me the spiritual legacy. Tell me the person that influenced you the most spiritually. And in my class, and almost every one of them said, my grandparents. It wasn't their parents, it was their grandparents. Wow. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice had, and I am persuaded, and now lives in you also. And this is Paul talking to Timothy. It says, you are living the legacy of your grandparents. Number two, grandparents can provide wisdom beyond that of parents, since they have walked this road many years before. Interesting thing about parenthood is, you don't have to take classes to be a parent. You know that? And I'll tell you some of the things that I mull over my brain over and over and over again as a parent. Boy, I wish I wouldn't have done this. I wish I wouldn't have done this. It's because no one ever told me how. Guess what? You now, parents, you have somebody who has walked the walk. Use their wisdom. Use their wisdom. It says, we are to make known to your children and your children's children. I grew up with drugs. In wrestling, I had a guy come up to me at a wrestling match and go, what did you do that for? I just want to know if you could smell the marijuana I just smoked. I had a girl's pregnant on the bus. Polly had marijuana on her bus. She got off the bus one time high. She talks about that. She goes, I couldn't understand why I was so dizzy. See, we've lived it too. Anyway, grandparents can share the advice and wisdom to live a spiritual life in a sinful world. As I said, we've lived it too. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children and his children's children. What is his inheritance? Money? No. You want to make an influence that impact the world more than anything else? Be a good parent and a good grandparent. That will do more to the world and impact the world than anything else you could ever do. Than all the money that you could ever send. All that happens when people die, when they have a lot of money, is the children usually fight over it because we have the biggest debtor generation that now wants the money from the wealthiest generation. And that's what's happening. But the sinner's wealth is laid out for the righteous. Okay. Grandparents can teach grandchildren to be good citizens and spouses and parents. But they're so old-fashioned. Oh, really? The Bible talks about love your wife. Love your husband. Is that old-fashioned? Titus says an older man, older men are to be sober and minded and dignified and self-controlled, sound in faith and love and steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slave to much wine. They are to teach what is good and train young women to love their husbands and children. Don't let Hollywood teach your children and teach your grandchildren how to be good husbands and spouses. Because what is Hollywood teaching them? When you get tired of them, go to someone else. That's what they're teaching. If you don't get your way, then argue about it. I mean, it's just amazing to see how things have changed. So, as I said, the most influential people in the lives of your children and your grandchildren are you. Now you're saying, but what about, I don't have any grandchildren. I don't have any children. So? My first church, Polly and I got married in 1986. Back in 86, and then in 88, we had our first kid. We had a couple there named Gerald and Velda Oyer, and they kind of became adopted grandparents for my daughters. And then, then we moved to Auburn, Indiana, took over a church called Hopewell United Brethren Church. And there was a gal there named Kathy Bebout that kind of became a grandparent to my children. Then we moved to Findlay, Ohio. Kids are getting a little bit older. But there was this strange lady there named Evie Marin. She's kind of a bossy thing. My kids, for some reason, loved her. And she kind of became their grandparents. Now I'm here. Now we become the grandparents. What I'm saying is, what Justin said was, what the kids really want is somebody just to love them. Right? How many of you can love? And that's what grandparenting is all about. And as you love them, they say, man, I want to be like you. And they want to hear the stories. And they want to know about all this stuff that is there. So, what I'm thankful about in this church is the fact that we do have a strong emphasis on the children's and the children's ministry. There are a lot of churches that would just die to have one-tenth of the children that we've got. But I think one of the reasons why We have so many children in this church. It's because the children know that they are important and they are loved. And that's kind of a reputation we got in the community as well. So keep it up, Mount Tabor. Keep it up. Keep up the good work. Because most of the people come to Christ between the ages of 4 and 29. Very few afterwards and very few before. Now let's talk about it from a business standpoint. You want to go where the most market share is, don't you? Do you understand what I'm saying? I know that sounds terrible. But if that's where most of the people come to Christ, then we need to really focus on them. It's not that we neglect the other two sides. Because I'm going to tell you, I've seen people come to Christ late in life. And we need to minister and we need to do everything else. Don't get me wrong. But the children's ministry is so important. So that's one reason why the Kingdom Harvest Ministries, I'm thankful for what they're doing. And I'm thankful for the opportunity. I'm going to close off with a story about Kingdom Harvest and then we'll go. There was a statement that was made is that they saw the grades go up and the discipline problems go down. I firmly believe that Parkway is going to see that. And I know we got a couple Parkway teachers in here, and I'm going to tell you, I want to see that when you start seeing that happen. When I was in high school, campus life came into my high school, Carroll High School, Fort Wayne, Indiana. My junior year, they came in. Well, the principal didn't quite understand it, so he said no. The next year, he didn't allow campus life to be in Carroll High School. Well, let me tell you about that year. That was the year that we blew up a bathroom. We burnt down a building. We had a sit-in where the students were protesting something. Discipline problems went through the roof. The next year, the principal brought back campus life, and guess what happened? Problems went down. Bring God back into things. So let's support Kingdom Harvest, but let's also support our youth ministry and grandparents. Hear me. You can be the most influential people in the lives of the children in this church, even if you don't have grandchildren here. You can still do it. Just love them. Give them a hug. That's all. A lot of times that's all they need. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day, chance to get together, and may all that we do bring you glory and honor. We pray for Kingdom Harvest Ministry, and I pray your blessing upon them, and help them to really grow in you, and help the children of Salina grow in you, and Parkway grow in you. Salina, I just pray that, Lord, you'll open up the doors here. There's a couple rough bumps that are happening right now, but that's okay. We know that you can plow the way. So, Lord, may it be so. We thank you for Justin and Kyle and everyone else, and may your blessing be upon them. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sermon really isn't conducive to it, but we're still going to do it anyway. The altar is going to be open for anyone to come and to pray for whatever reason you might have, and the elders will be up here to pray with you.
You'll stand with us this morning, and we'll close in song.
Every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. There is no one like you. There song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. God bless you.